I got Julie's done according to the spiritual inventory that took out half the spiritual gifts. They're not even on there. Did everybody get one of these to do their spiritual gifts?
Now, where did you want to say that you were going into the spiritual gift thing?
No, but I'm using this to prove my point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've done those tests before, and I know what they told me. So
right.
As long as we have some idea,
yeah,
we're okay. I thought, you know, well.
Yeah, so what I'm going to show you guys is the point I'm going to prove is this: your flesh will defend what's comfortable. So you're answering these usually depending on what comfort level you have, right? And so that's your personality, which is not bad. Everyone has a personality. Those are great. But the Holy Spirit's a personality also, and we want to tap into Him and see what He has for us.
Evidently, the Holy Spirit is very well-rounded.
Yes, He should be. All right, and the kiddos, or Bailey handed out today's lesson. And I have some, you know, spaces in there so you guys can take notes if you want and fill in your own stuff. And again, this is just my take on it. There are several ways that we've all probably learned about spiritual gifts, about the process, how they're used, when they're used. And so I really want to make sure I'm communicating well and clarifying. Now, gifts given to edify and build the church when the church first started, right? So there's no scriptures written down. The scriptures, as far as New Testament goes, the scriptures that are written down are Old Testament, right? Now, there are times, yes, when the apostles, different teachers go back and reference some Old Testament stuff, but it's in a clear context to explain a principle. It backs up a principle they're explaining for the New Testament, right? So, moving forward, like the gift of healing, right? Now, there was a gift given at one time to where people were healed in the masses, okay? Now, I'm not saying God can't heal someone through somebody. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a gift that was given upon someone's spiritual birth, so when they accept Christ as their Savior, they have that supernatural ability to heal somebody who is sick, okay, on a massive scale level. Now, I'm going to repeat myself. I'm not saying that God can't use someone to heal somebody, but it's not their gift. I believe that gift is gone. Okay, does that make sense? I'm not saying God can't heal. I'm not saying God can't use someone. I'll use tongues also. I believe the scripture proves my theory is tongues are a known established language, because when we first see it prophesied coming true, Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, they heard them speak in their own tongue, in their own language, right? How hear we every man the wonderful works of God, right? So it's not a made-up language. Has anybody ever heard, like, the language of angels? You guys have heard that? Anybody ever heard that before, language of angels? Okay, that came from one reference that Paul said, though I could speak with the tongues of angels. He's not even saying he can. It's a hypothetical. Hypothetically, even if I could speak in that language and don't have love, it's useless. Okay? And every time angels speak, you understand what they're saying. Abraham, when the three angels came down and talked to him, he didn't go, I need an interpreter. Every time an angel speaks to an individual, whenever you see an angel speaking, they understand exactly what he's saying. Right? Okay, so we're clear on that. Okay, so some of you don't know about, you know, tongues of angels. That's a really far Pentecostal group believes in that. And they get it from that one reference. And again, it's hypothetical. Paul is saying, even if I could speak that language and don't have love, it's useless. That's his whole point. The context is love. All right? So the gift of speaking in tongues, right? I believe that gift is done. I'm not saying that if I am wanting to, if I'm in Africa, I'm not saying that where John's at right now, if he's saying, Lord, this person's open. I need you to give me the language of Zimbabwean to help me give the gospel to this person. I'm not saying God can't do that, hasn't done that, or won't do that. Right? He could do that, absolutely. Okay? Now, what I am saying is that gift given in the masses as a gift upon salvation, it is no more. I'm not saying that God can't use an individual to speak Chinese to give the gospel. Being spiritually influenced in a moment of time is different than receiving the gift, right, upon spiritual birth. Am I making sense what I'm saying? Okay, so what do you guys hear me say? What do you guys hear me saying?
You're saying that there are things that can happen when you're led by the Spirit that it might not be a gift that you have for a long time, over time, that you use every day virtually with people or whatever, something like that. Is that close?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Anybody else, in your own language, in your own how you're comprehending that, are you guys lining up with that theme that Steve has, what I'm trying to say? Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for being good to us. We're so grateful for our salvation. We're so grateful that you do give us a gift upon salvation to serve and to be used by you, Lord, to edify your body for the common good, and that we can build each other up in love. And Lord, what a beautiful picture it is. I'm thankful, Lord, that we strive to do that here at the Way Church for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So any questions on that before we move forward? Any thoughts or comments you want to add?
I will say that it's a shame that the world is the world, that the Christian world is the way it is, because this causes so much division between believers. You know, you'll have a friend or a neighbor that speaks in tongues, and they're just horrified that you think it's wrong, and you think that they're just being of the flesh, and it's hard to approach those situations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's tough. And so as we learn more and as we grow, we realize they're probably just ignorant,
right,
and they're doing what they're taught to do. And so I have compassion on them, right? I go, okay, they're doing a good job of what they're being told to do. Now, it's wrong. And again, the more and more I know and the more and more I see how vague the scripture are on some things, the more I go, you know, salvation is my line. You know, so if I hear someone doing that, or like they have that gift, you know, I'll say, oh, okay, you know, I've never known anybody that have that gift. Can you show me in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 how you apply that? Right? Because that's the only one that really goes into it. No other church has that gift. Technically, if we're just to take the epistles, I don't see that church given to anybody else, or that gift given to anybody else. So you go, okay, are you using it according to these rules? Because they had rules on them, right? Now, I get to see that, but if it is, cool, let me see it. You know, let's look at it.
Would you say that there is any harm to believers that are so focused on speaking in tongues?
Yes, there is, because that's exactly what Paul's preaching against when he's rebuking them. He's saying, you guys are speaking in tongues too much. How is it that you all have a tongue and a sign and a prophecy? Or something else. But he's asking them to focus on prophesying over tongues. He says, you're abusing it, you're doing it, and it's not profiting anybody. You know, so yeah, you can speak Swahili. Good for you. You don't even know what you're saying. Now, it's a known language. You know, you don't know what you're saying because if you can't interpret, right? Now, someone else might have that gift of ears, of hearing, to go, I can discern, interpret what he's saying. Now, it takes three men. Women weren't even allowed to speak in church in that whole realm, right? In the context of speaking in tongues. So when you see women don't speak in church, that's in the area of speaking in tongues. Let them learn at home. So someone can say something. Three men had to interpret. And what I want to do, I was telling my friend the other day, it'd be cool to see a piece of paper and all three guys don't share what you think they're saying. Write it down and hand it to the pastor, and let's see if all three are saying the same thing. That'd be kind of neat. Let me get a tissue real quick. I think we have a bunch in here somewhere. Are there any boxes of tissue still out there?
Ezra has
one. Ezra, toss me one, would you? Has anybody ever heard of Lambert's in Missouri? Lambert's restaurant? If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, which I'm not saying to do that or whatever, I'm just saying he on his show would promote it a lot because it was in the area of Missouri where he was from. Thank you, Ezra. And what they do is when you're eating there, they have these metal bowls of macaroni, peas and bacon, and they have these huge dinner rolls. And as you're eating, it's a massive restaurant, you know. You know, you can just put your hand up for a roll, and they'll throw it to you from wherever they're at. Like, all right, roll in the air. And they see these rolls flying around. They're just coming to you. So with your main meal, they'll just keep coming by to you. You want more macaroni? You want more, you know, black-eyed peas? And you're like, oh, man, I mean, I got enough. But it's cool to see all these rolls. And they're, like, pretty accurate. You know, he's got to, whoop, right there. All right, where was I? What were we talking about? Yeah, so just seeing it done decent and in order. There are rules, because they were abusing their languages, to where the church wasn't being edified. So Paul is setting rules down in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Okay?
So, you know how a lot of believers, when they speak in tongues, of course nowadays it's the gibberish, and they do it on their own, in their own personal prayer time. So in a situation like that, we would ask, what would the follow-up question that you would ask them to?
So I would say, what's stopping you from doing it in your native tongue? There's nothing more spiritual.
And if the spiritual gifts are meant for the building up of the body, and you're using it by yourself, is that a factor as well?
I think there's a spot in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, where women were praying at home in tongues. Okay. But again, if they're, that's a practice it, I think, also. At the same time, yeah, if it's nowadays, I think the gift's even done. So what's stopping you from doing it in your own language, right? You're not a leg up. You're not more spiritual to do it in a different tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not that I necessarily want to move down this road, but Romans 8, you talk about the Spirit groaning even when we can't speak. Mm-hmm. Would that be similar?
I think that's in the context of like going through tribulation. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I'm going through a hard time. And I think that's just, this is my opinion. So it could be, I don't know. My opinion is when I'm going through tribulation and I am so distraught, I don't even know what to say, the Spirit knows what to say for me.
Right, so could that be the same as the prayer life that somebody has where they happen to be speaking in tongues? So it's really the Spirit that's speaking in some unknown language. And I would agree with you wholeheartedly, what's the point? But could that be the explanation?
Maybe.
Or an explanation?
Yeah, I don't see the when I look at that in 1 Corinthians 12, I don't see the women doing it because they're distraught, they're in tribulation. I think I just see it as on their own. You know.
I don't think it's 1 Corinthians 12.
Okay, is it 13, 14?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, okay.
It's someplace from 12, 13, or 14. But it seems to me like that whole 1 Corinthians 12, 13, or 14 are written to the Corinthian church because they needed correction in what they were doing. And so that it's not that it was wrong, mm-hmm. It was this is how you should go about this.
Yes.
And so people were speaking in tongues because they were patting themselves on the back going, oh, I'm so righteous. And Paul came in and said, no, you're not so righteous. You know, you're abusing something that God gave you. And this is how, you know, if you're going to do this, these are the rules you're going to follow.
Yeah. Amen. I agree 100%. Absolutely. Yep, they were abusing him. They needed correction. So Paul's writing back to correct him again.
It's one of those things that's kind of like, I think we spend a lot of time talking about it, and there isn't anything to get out of talking about it. Mm-hmm.
For me, what I look at, so when I take a step back and do a 30,000-foot view, me personally, I think I'm going to use my language. It's nothing biblical. But I think certain churches need training wheels. So like these massive gifts to this area needed some training wheels to help them like stay focused and get going. Now at Philippi, they didn't need no training wheels. You know, they didn't need those. So every church is different based on the group of believers that you have. So here we have obviously emotional, you know, believers from all over the place because it's a port town, right? So there's people all over the place. There's idolatry. There's always bad things happening, right? And so we see them also using the world's wisdom, humanism, knowledge. All these things are influencing this baby church. So I think to myself, maybe God used these gifts to just kind of help them get going, knowing that as they mature, they won't need him and they'll go away. Because it says in 14, prophesying and tongues will cease when that which is perfect has come. Our perfect is the word complete, when that which is complete has come. Now, I don't know what that complete is. To me, it's the gospel spreading to the known world. So when that gospel is spread, we won't need this anymore. Boom. That's just my opinion. You don't have to have that. It can be fill in the blank there. But we know that Paul has a certain set time when those two gifts are going to stop, when something complete is going to end or happen. Whether it's the church, you know, understanding all the mysteries, whether it's the gospel spreading, whatever. We don't know. I'm just putting my two cents in there to say Paul knows they're going to stop in his time, you know, to these people. So, yeah. And, yeah, maybe they see some training wheels to get going. That's what I want to do. I want to get to where we have some concrete answers. And being okay with saying, yeah, we don't know, right? So we don't want to infer anything to help us settle our mind and conscience. No, we don't know. Or here's what we know for sure. The rest, it's up in the air. Up to interpretation, right? And so then we look at the context. Why is this even being taught? What's happening around here in the whole? Oh, they're abusing it. They're doing wrong. They need to do it in love. They need to use it to help someone else, not themselves. It's not going to edify the body that don't do it at all, right? So there's a lot of things happening there. Yep. Yeah, because it's interesting. I don't have necessarily a Pentecostal background, and the group that we're out of actually frowns upon them quite a bit. But as you mature and read the Bible and be free to just explore the scriptures, you see the Holy Spirit as very active. You see that the Lord, those three guys are all on the same page, and God wants you, the Holy Spirit, to do things. So, yeah, I believe in gifts. I believe the Lord using people. I believe in all kinds of stuff just because the Bible shows us plain as day. I don't need to have like a practical, you know, explanation for it. No, this is what happened to this group at this time. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. Any more thoughts? Hey, go ahead.
Okay. It is possible where you can be in a conversation, you talk to someone, and something comes out of your mouth, you have no idea you say it, and it's just that. That is possible? It's like somebody else took my words.
Are you saying it in a different language?
No, in my language.
Yeah. All the time. Oh, so that happens. That happens all the time. Yeah.
I mean, there was a situation where what came out of my mouth, I was worried I was going to be fired from my job. But I dropped a little bit into it, and that's something I actually don't do. And it's on my bus, all right. And I was telling everybody on my bus, I'm sorry, I've been late, blah, blah, blah. We had greasy weather, we had no heat. And on my name, I'm Shawnee, I'm here. When I was apologizing, I went and I said, remember, God loves you all. I said that, and I could have been fired for saying that, with our contract.
Yep.
And anyway, I'm thinking, oh no, I'm going to get fired because this group I was thinking of is more of a high class group, and none of the drivers love to, don't like to take me anywhere. All right? And anyway, I just put my foot in my mouth. What came out is no complaints. It was cool. And 4 months later, when I was changing buses, this one guy on my bus was, you know, stayed on, didn't get off, you know, going to work, you know, at the temple. They were all Mormons, you know. But anyway, I stopped and I said, you could probably get off, let me pull my bus around and let you off at your stop. And he said, no, that's okay, I want to talk to you, Sean, you know. And I said, okay, you know, what can I do now? So anyway, he goes and he says to me, I want to thank you so much, you know, to step forward, you know, I didn't know, you saved my marriage. And he told me what I said when God does shit, you know. And I had no thought of saying those words or whatever, but it just came out of my mouth where it felt that sort of soul of mine.
Yeah, excellent.
So anyway.
Yeah.
That is possible, that's how that works.
Oh, yeah. And you might have gotten fired, too. But either way, I mean, in the Bible, people are being killed for saying the same things you're saying.
Exactly.
So you might have died, you might have been fired, you might have been fined. Either way, you know, we still teach and preach the truth, no matter what anybody thinks, says, or does.
Exactly.
Yep. And the Lord, I think, will take over in those times to have you say those things. Now, you might afterwards, like you do, go, oh, man, why did I do that? Well, no. Trust the Lord. Trust the process. Even if you get fired, oh well. You know, I mean, what is, when you get to heaven, you're not even going to think about the job I got fired from. Right? That won't even be a thought in your mind. You'll be focused on what you did for Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good job. Any more thoughts? All right, so on your paper there, these are your guys' to take home. Again, some space there to write in your own thoughts. You can change this around, do whatever you want with it. What is a spiritual gift? I believe it's the supernatural ability given by God and the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Oh, through the typo there. To the believer at the moment of salvation, to provide for the common good and building up the body. And we saw it already last week in 1 Corinthians 12, and we saw it in Ephesians 4 as we're going through Ephesians. Now, what's the difference between a talent and a gift? This comes up a lot, right? Again, for a lot of people, it's just a matter of semantics. A lot of people get really offended by this kind of stuff. As you mature, just as they're talking and being upset, that you tell them, yeah, music isn't a gift. It's a talent, and I thank God for it, but you weren't given that by God. You were given that by birth. And that's okay, right? Can you use talents for God? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it wasn't given to you by God when you got born again. It was given to you by birth. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay, a talent is a human natural ability given at birth, such as music, the ability to speak, business, a certain skill. A spiritual gift, a specific gift or gifts given by God at the moment of salvation, because I think you can have more than one. This gift or gifts may conflict with our personality so that we may rely on Christ and not in ourselves to edify Christ's body. And I do believe that. Go ahead, Don. I think you discover it. Yep, I think that's what Philippians, when it talks about working out your salvation in fear and trembling, that's part of it. You know, as I grow and mature, I'll see more and more of Christ in me, and I'll see, this is what God has for me. But at that moment, I don't think you know, because you need a teacher at times also.
Does this gift ever go away? Once you have that gift, is that your gift for the rest of your life? Will you get a different gift? Read one gift for another? I mean, how does that work? Is that given to you by God at the moment of salvation? Is that for life then?
This is where it gets fun, because we don't know. Yeah. We don't know. I think that, you know, one side of the aisle, one group believes that you actually have all the gifts in you. It depends on where you're at the gift that God wants to bring forth. That's one theory, which I don't have a problem with that. If you're mature, you'll be open to God's leading. But an immature believer, God might want to use, as you move, God might want to use certain gifts through you, but you're so young in the Lord. Again, not churched. I'm not saying you've been to church for 40 years and you know all these different gifts. You might just be thinking, me just being here and me doing something physical is my gift, which is not true. We have a lot of believers in Christ like that. A lot of believers think that me going to church and me like handing out a bulletin or vacuuming the carpet is a gift. It's not a gift. That's a service, right? There's no gift there. It's a service. Now, is that bad? No. I want us to make sure that we categorize them properly, okay? So, I think that you can't have that same gift for your whole life. It just depends on what body you're with, on you using that and yielding to it. And you'll find a spot. What do you think, Julie?
Well, in Romans 11, it says that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Mm-hmm. And I know it's in context of talking about God's calling of Israel in the past. But it does say gifts and calling of God are irrevocable.
Right. Yeah, it just depends on, is it that one or two gifts that I have? Or is it I have all the gifts in me? It just depends on how God wants to mature me in the local body I'm at that time.
And then we had a question come up Thursday's Bible study. Mm-hmm. Say that your spiritual gift is service, mm-hmm. but now you've gotten older and not physically capable of doing that. How do you proceed?
Yeah, if you're slowing down, okay, we have to define what is service. Service in what capacity? In what context? I can still serve when people come to me. Right? Yeah, I can serve with my knowledge, my wisdom, right? With the things that I know spiritually, I can serve that way. So serving doesn't have to always be in a context of me physically being involved in something.
And praying?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can pray, totally. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Good stuff, guys. Any more thoughts on that? All right, so here's a little list I put together so that we're not confused about certain responsibilities. So gifts given to some and commands given to all. So what I did here is made this top list of these seven gifts. These are gifts, and we'll go over about 18 of them starting next week. But these seven here are actual gifts that people get at the moment of salvation, right? Now, just because it's not given to you at salvation doesn't mean you have a responsibility, okay, a command, which is the bottom section. So like we see there in Galatians 5:13, to serve one another. Now, going back to your thought, Julie, on service, just because I don't have the gift of serving, which just means I am supernaturally always putting myself in a position to serve. It just happens. I just want to do it. It just kind of, things just come my way, you know, out of the blue, which they're not. It's God-given, right? So just serving just seems to keep falling in my lap, and I keep wanting to do acts of service. Now, there's also a command which might go against someone's gift or against someone's personality, but we're commanded to serve one another and bear one another's burdens. You can't get around that. Well, it's not my gift of service. No, but you're commanded to serve each other, right? So now we have to maybe pray more, a little bit more diligently, and maybe act out more and purposefully and intentional to serve one another, right? Now, I'll use a worldly term. It might fit in the context, it might not. I'll let you guys tell me. But you know that term, common sense? You know, simplest don't have common sense.
Common sense is not common sense.
Right. Exactly. So it's common sense, but sometimes people just start getting it. You know, it's like, oh man, you know, I can't explain this any more clear. And it's like, phew, like you're just not grasping, my man. So we have to fight against that, right? We have to think, okay, you know, when I come to the fellowship, I need to put myself in a position to serve someone. Now, it might go against what I'm comfortable with. It might go against what my gift is. But I'm still commanded in Galatians 5 to serve and to bear each other's burdens. Okay? So my personality, I might not care what anyone's going through at the time they're going through it. I have my own things going on. Listen, just you have your problems, I'll have mine. That's not bearing each other's burdens, is it? No, so I have to be conscious of that. And when I start thinking that way, go, oh, wait, you know, red flag, or maybe the Lord will convict me in my heart and go, oh, you know what? No. If I'm thinking that, then that's my red flag to go out of my way to try and serve or ask, hey, are there any burdens you're going through that I can bear with you? I can pray with you. I can help maybe relieve you of those burdens. What can I do? So think about that. When something in my mind is happening in my flesh to go the opposite way, to go one way, maybe stop and think, okay, is this a sign to actually go forward in that same process to someone? Does that make sense? So I'm going to fight what's comfortable. I'm going to fight my flesh because it'll defend what's comfortable and go, I'm having these feelings. Maybe I should actually do the opposite of what I want to do. I'm not saying in every case. I'm just saying be open to it. Okay, that's how the Holy Spirit is. He's fluid. He's always moving, right? He's not confined to a box. So serve one another, teaching. We see in Titus chapter 2 that women were to teach younger women certain attributes, certain things. Okay? Now there at Crete, when Titus is being told on what to teach these people, it was a rough crowd, all right? Because that whole area was a prison island. People went there as massive prisons, so everyone around there were either thieves or, you know, had a bad reputation. It wasn't a good area. And Titus was there to go to Crete and go church hopping and establish these churches. One of his messages was for women to actually teach other women. So you might not have the gift of teaching, but if I'm a woman in a local assembly, I'm looking at Titus going, okay, here are my responsibilities. This might go against what I'm comfortable with. It might go against what I want to do in my flesh. But you know what? If I'm commanded, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try and put myself in a position to do it and be available. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Yep. So we have women that are teach other women. And we have in Hebrews chapter 10, you might not have the gift of exhortation, but we're commanded to exhort one another daily while it's called today. So how do I do that? Again, that might come to a heart set, right? In my mind, I might be thinking, man, you know, I have a lot going on. I need someone to encourage me. I need someone to come alongside and lift me up. If you're thinking that, maybe that's the exact thing God wants you to do to someone else, right? There are some earthly principles that we can do, some worldly things. Not even spiritual, they're worldly. One of them is if you're kind of in a zone where you're feeling sorry for yourself, okay, just go to a hospital. Go to a hospital, go to the cancer section, go to the ICU area. You don't have to know anybody, just go there. Right? This is just something physical, not even spiritual, that you can do to kind of help get you back in check in your emotions and go, okay, I don't have it really that bad. And that's something temporal, that's something worldly, right? It's not even spiritual to say, okay, Lord, I'm having these thoughts, I'm coming to you, what's going on in my life? What am I not looking at? What am I not focused on? What do I need to focus on? Is someone in church, do they need my help? What's going on, right? How can I be active with this? How can I get going? Just a quick fix, go to a hospital. If you're near a children's hospital, even better, go there, walk around. Right? Watch these little five-year-old kids that have bald heads with tubes out of their nose walking around because they got them through chemotherapy. That'll put you in check real quick. We've lived our lives, haven't we? Most of us. You see, a five-year-old, they haven't lived their life yet. Now, that's just something worldly, right, to help us. So coming back to the exhortation, it might not come easy to you. It comes easy to me. It comes easy to me. I'm not even boasting. Why? I think it's my gift. I think one of my gifts is exhortation. The Lord just fluidly gives me things to tell people to where they're lifted up. They're encouraged. When people walk away from being around me, they should be walking away more encouraged, not discouraged. Now, if I get in my flesh, can I discourage someone? Absolutely. If I get in my flesh, I want to do right, but I'm trying to correct and fix and, you know, make this person better, I can actually do wrong and discourage them and walk away. But if I yield the Spirit, and say, okay, I'm hearing them out. Lord, you tell me what to tell them. Boom, it comes. Boom, it comes. And they walk away more encouraged than when they came to me. You guys do that same thing. Now, you might have to work a little bit harder if your gift isn't exhortation. As people are talking, say, okay, Lord, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm not really good at, in my flesh, at giving someone advice or wisdom, but I'm relying on you. If you have some kind of exhortation to give them, please tell me so I can tell them. And that's when things happen, like you're saying, Shawnee, where you're not even trying to memorize a verse. You just know it through reading. You don't even know what's there. And out comes, yeah, you know, in Philippians chapter 2, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Thanks for telling me that. And you walk away going, I never even tried to memorize Philippians chapter 2. I didn't even know I knew that. Right. But the living word, who is Jesus, right? These aren't black words on a white page. This is Jesus, who is in you. And as I become familiar with the Word of God, He'll use me to say things that I don't even know I know. Right? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay. Of course, be kind. I might not have the gift of mercy, but there in Ephesians 4, we'll go through this actually today, to be kind to each other. Okay? I might, in my flesh or my personality, fall back on just being kind of cold. Right? Kind of just standoffish. As I grow and I'm aware of this, I gotta, you know, force myself maybe to smile or to be kind, right? And one act of kindness could be, as someone's talking to you, you don't think, I gotta fix them. I'm just thinking about myself sometimes. But you don't need to fix them. Just hear them out and be kind. Listen to them. Man, I'm sorry that happened, or man, I'm glad that happened, or whatever. You don't have to give them any kind of words of wisdom. Just hear them out and go, man, praise the Lord. I'm happy for you. Even if some things you hear are wrong, right? It's not always about being right and wrong. It's just, they just want someone to listen to them. Be kind. Or go out of my way to show someone kindness, right? If that's not natural for you, go out of your way to do it. You know, fight that comfortable flesh. Walk by faith. You might not have the gift of faith, but you can walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's what we're all to do, right? We're all to walk by faith. I know people that, you know, nothing is impossible with God. And they believe that in every single given situation. They don't analyze things like maybe I do sometimes. I think I walk by faith. I think God can do great things by faith. But sometimes I analyze and go, okay, you know, the Lord can, but these things might have to happen first. I'm a systems-oriented mindset. People have that gift to go, God don't need no system. He can do it whenever He wants, however He wants. He can do it right now. And I go, you stay next to me. You stand right here. This is what I need. All right? I can see things by faith over years and over a system and over time, over planning. And people by faith that have that gift go, that's good, but I see it now. It can happen now. That's pretty cool. All right, last one, to be a witness. Now, some people do have that gift to be an evangelist. Word just comes to them. They can give the gospel out constantly. You know, in any given situation, man, they can just get the gospel out easy whenever, however. It just flows out of them, right? You might not have that gift. That's okay, but you can still, in situations, be open to, man, you know, this conversation is going well. I could probably try and slip in the gospel message here and try and do it and see what happens. Right? So you're not always there. Those opportunities don't always come to you, maybe. But when they do, be conscious and go, man, the environment's okay. I'm in a good area. I'm gonna give the gospel. There's a Romans 10, talks about, and how shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear unless they be sent. Another one there in 2 Corinthians talks about, and Satan is blinding the minds of those who have not heard. Okay, so we have to be active, right? We have to be active. Any questions on this first page here? Any thoughts? What did you guys hear me say today? What's going on in your mind?
The thing that I'm thinking about is that, you know, we can all be led by the Holy Spirit, but we're not going to have to necessarily, it's not necessarily in our gift area for certain things that happen, that they can, you know. I think about what my wife always says, but, you know, you don't need to know the words to say when you're talking to someone about Christ, because sometimes they'll come. Because the Spirit just works through you. We have no clue, like Sean was saying, we had no clue where those words came from. They just fall out of your mouth. And you know they come from God. You know it's the Spirit working in you. But it wasn't what you mentally planned to do. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, excellent. Amen. What else are you guys hearing me say?
So you're saying that even if we don't have a particular spiritual gift, a lot of these... it's our responsibility to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of information, and it's going to keep getting stacked. But I wanted to make sure that as we go through each of these gifts, that we try and always keep a 30,000-foot view and go, okay, let's look at the context. Let's go with, okay, that gift might not be here today as a mass given, but are there times when it can happen? Sure thing, absolutely. But what do we have today? Like, what do we know for sure we can see today that hasn't gone away? So I want to build a foundation first, the last 2 weeks, and then now as we go through each of these gifts, we can kind of get more detail and look through it. Now I will say, don't ever tell God no to anything, right? So never say he can't do it or he won't do it. I've learned that, okay? So when we see these things, I think outside of maybe an apostle, whatever, things can happen, right? So I'm not bound, you know, anchored to, it'll always be this and it'll always be that. I'm not putting God in a box, I'm not putting the Holy Spirit in a box like that. I just want to look at things in my context, look at what things we have now, what we know for sure, and the things outside of maybe an apostle, because when they look for qualifications, we'll get to that next week, but you had to actually have seen Jesus, right? And make up for who killed himself? 30 pieces of silver. Judas, to make up for him. Thank you. I went blank real quick. They went through qualifications, right? They had been with us since the beginning, since John the Baptist. That's how they chose Matthias. So anyways, we'll get to all that. So I don't think apostles are for today either. That's just my opinion because of the qualifications we see there. But we'll see. Any last thoughts? Anybody concerned about us going through gifts? No? Anybody excited? I'm pretty excited. Absolutely. Yeah. Dave, will you pray for us?
Father, we thank you for just everything that you do to us. We thank you for the help that you bring to us. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us as a gift, and we put our faith in you. We ask, Father, that you teach us how to use those properly, teach us how to live in your Spirit, teach us how to stay focused on you at all times and in everything that we do, that we would not walk in the flesh, but that we would always walk in the Spirit. Again, we're thankful for Jesse's teaching and for the good news that he has for us, that we do not have to live in bondage. But that we have a life in you that is unbelievable and beyond belief, and something that we choose to live in, and we set our hope in you. We just ask you something precious. Amen.
Amen.